Hey guys, happy Friday. It's your Murder Girls. This is Raina.
And I'm Marie. And you know, welcome back this Friday to our broadcasting. Holy mother of downloads, you guys. We have been looking at our numbers and you guys are catching up on old episodes, new episodes.
Oh, we have a ton of new listeners. So we want to welcome all you newbies to our true crime podcast, which is going to be your new favorite and your Friday morning. But you're going to love us.
We love us.
So yeah, each week we serve you guys up a lesser known true crime tale. If you have a case suggestion, you can hit up our website, thosemurdergirls.com. We have a case submission button there, or you can write us on Facebook or Instagram. When you do hit the case submission button, it kind of just keeps everything a little bit more organized. So yes, we don't like lose any of the information that you send in, because we do get a lot of messages on social media, but whatever floats your boat.
Then I feel like we have more details too to put the case together. It just works better that way. But we hope that all of you new guys are enjoying our weekly podcast. And if you guys are wondering, we can see where you download the episodes and how many. So we're watching you guys. Not trying to be creepy or anything, but we see what's going on.
We do see what's going on. So thank you guys for posting the merch that you received. Yes! We're so happy that you guys liked them. They're so cute, aren't they? And I'm loving our new sticker. And we're in the middle of designing another sticker.
Oh my gosh, yes. Watch out for it. It's so cute.
Yeah, watch out for that one. So thank you guys for sharing all of the merch. And if you haven't posted it, post it. Let us know what you guys think.
And we have another order going out tomorrow, too. So when you guys get yours, you guys know who you are next week. Keep resharing it.
Hint, hint. You're in Canada.
Hint, hint. So we're going to jump right into today's case. Today, we are going to be telling you the strange disappearance involving a 33-year-old, super successful and handsome, may I add, he's like an adrenaline junkie, from Laguna Beach, California.
He's giving you all the feels over there.
I'm telling you, when I was looking at his picture, I was like, what?
He is really good looking.
He's super cute. He was last heard and seen from in June 2010. And at this time, he had told his family that he was heading out to, you know, travel the world, which from the outside was not like very strange, because that's how he was. And he was very adventurous.
So while he was on this journey around the world, he used email to keep in touch with his family. But as those emails trickled into his family's inboxes, they started to have this deep down, like, gut feeling that something was wrong. And maybe Chris wasn't actually on a journey around the world, but maybe had never even left the United States. They felt that something a little more sinister was going on. And the more they looked into it, they would be shocked at what they discovered. It was disturbing, to say the least.
So Chris Smith came from a super tight family. His father was Steve Smith and his mother was Debbie. Steve was a firefighter and Debbie was a preschool teacher. Chris had one sibling and his name was Paul. And these brothers were tight. Like, they were thick as thieves. Chris Smith started surfing when he was only 8 years old. When I read that, I was like, this guy is driven.
That's awesome.
He grew up in Watsonville, California, and that's kind of between Santa Cruz and Monterey. And he grew up there with his family before then moving down to Laguna Beach. So in 2008, Chris is now living in Laguna, living his best life. He's surfing, traveling, working his ass off. And he would take his family on, like, all these beautiful, extravagant vacations. He, at the time, was working for a lead-generating company, which is described as, it's like a form of media advertising, and they collect customer leads using these 1-800 numbers, and then they sell them to other companies, which I messaged Raina. I'm like, I'm not trying to be naive, but I didn't know that that kind of thing existed. Mm-hmm. That was news to me. So during this time, in 2008, Chris was starting his own lead generating company, and he meets a man by the name of Ed Shin. So the two actually became really, really good tight friends, and they decide, hey, you know what? Together, we're going to start this company, and we're going to call it 800 Exchange. And this specific lead generation business was pretty much for debt consolidation companies and, like, class action attorneys. Ed Shin, unfortunately, was not exactly who he had led on to be. This married father of three had quite a few secrets that he was hiding. He had actually just been caught embezzling hundreds of thousands of dollars from his previous employer, LG Technology. So I think it's like pretty safe to say Ed was living like way beyond his means in his life. And he definitely enjoyed those frequent trips to Vegas, gambling the night away, women that were other than his wife. Honestly, after reading up on him, he was just a really shitty person.
Ooh. So Ed portrayed himself as this loving, doting husband and father, super active in the church, which, you know, they always are. And just an all-around great guy who was active in his community. So I'm sure you guys know exactly where this was going. Ed was far from that. At this time, 800 Exchange is kicking ass. This business that the two had built is going amazing, and these guys are just stoked living the life. Chris was living in this nice Laguna Beach apartment with his girlfriend, and he was even able to convince his brother, sister-in-law, and their children to move down to Laguna, offering his brother a position within the company 800 Exchange. It is now 2009, and Ed was faced with those legal charges of embezzling from his former company. You know, it was no big deal. It was only a judgment against him in the tune of like a couple million dollars.
No big deal.
Which Ed pled guilty to, and it's like, duh, I don't think you have very many options.
What were you gonna do, Ed?
Can't really run fast enough to get away from like a few million bucks. So in May 2010, Ed had agreed to pay back $800,000 in a settlement, and if he made good on that promise and paid the $800,000 back, he wouldn't have to do any jail time. But the kicker was Ed had to pay his restitution within 5 months. Mm. So this is where we cue in his business partner, Chris Smith. Chris Smith holds a 50% stake in the company 800 Exchange. So in order for Ed to obtain the $800,000 in funds from the company to quickly pay off that debt before his five-month deadline hit, he needed Chris to sign an agreement allowing him to borrow the money from 800 Exchange. Well, as you can imagine, Chris was like not even going to be down for that. I mean, who would
I wouldn't be down for that.
No.
Like kick rocks.
Yeah, seriously. And at the same time, Ed also had these huge outstanding personal debt from like all of his lavish trips to like Vegas and whatever else he was just literally blowing all of his cash on. Like, they made really good money. So the fact that he was spending those huge amounts of money before he even had it, like,
that's insane.
Oh, calm down.
You need a financial advisor.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, he was under some major financial pressure during this time.
So source material revealed that Chris had a 50% stake in the company, but he had zero access to the actual financials, like payroll, all the numbers in the company. Ed actually did. How convenient. So obviously looking at Ed Shin's track record, he was probably concerned that Ed would, you know, potentially steal from him. So Chris wanted to make sure that his assets were secured. So I read that Chris had agreed to sell his share of the company, 1-800 Exchange, to Ed to safeguard his money. Which, looking back when we researched it, I'm like, how would Ed even be able to afford that considering all of the debt he's already in? Doesn't make sense. On June 4th, Chris's attorney, Ernesto Aldover, had received an email from Chris, and it stated that he was selling his shares of the company to the tune of $1 million, and he was selling it to Ed Shin. Which to his attorney kind of seemed odd because that's not what him and Chris had discussed. We're not sure what they were discussed that's been protected, but he thought it was out of character. So on June 7th, which was like just a few days later, he received another email from Chris Smith saying that the documents were being prepared and that he was going to go on vacation off to South America. Which, like, I don't know, if you're going through a huge business deal like that, I don't know if you would just take off on vacation.
Probably not.
Seems off, right? Mm-hmm. What also seemed off is the same day, June 7th, all of the employees at 800 Exchange received an email from none other than Ed Shin saying to not come into the office at all that week.
I want to know if they were paid.
You know what? That's a good question.
You're telling somebody me to stay let out us of the know. Office?
Yeah. So Chris's family had actually arrived back in town from a family vacation, and Chris was supposed to pick them up from the airport. So when he no-showed, they're like, you know, that's very unlike Chris. What's going on? So Chris's brother Paul asks Ed Shin, like, dude, where is my brother at? Ed's like, oh, Chris, you know, cashed out of the company for a cool $1 million. I pretty much own it now. And he took off on vacation.
Unlikely. Very. And leaves his girlfriend behind. Like, if you're going to go on vacation with $1 million in your hand.
You're not going to take your girlfriend?
You're not going to take your girlfriend. Well, maybe you're not.
Oh. Sure. Suspish either way. So his parents naturally are like, okay, this is odd. But Chris is very adventurous. So at that time, they weren't like super alarmed, we would say. So they receive, Chris's family, they receive an email from Chris not long after he was last seen on June 4th. And the email said he was, in fact, going on vacation. Like, he was going to be gone for 3 weeks. He was going down to the Galapagos Islands. And then he was going to go to Costa Rica. But he would let him know that week, like, for sure, how long he was going to be gone for. Well, to answer the odd question of why he took off on this vacation without his beloved girlfriend, Chris, I guess, dumped her via text message. But this is the woman that he's planning on marrying. So that just seems odd to the family, right? Then he emailed his brother.
Like, everything just goes from, like, okay.
To then, hi, we're done. I'm taking off.
I'm taking off. I'm selling my business.
Can you imagine how she felt, too? Like, what is going on? Like, as a girlfriend, it was just horrible. So he then messages, this is supposedly Chris, an email to his brother saying that he met a new woman. She was a former Playboy playmate, to be exact. And that was kind of odd because Chris was not known to date women. Like, you can go back and look at pictures. Like, Chris did not date women like that. So he actually sends a photo to his brother like, hey, this is the girl. Check her out. She's a babe. Still nothing like too alarming to Chris's family. I think they just think like, hey, he's out there living his best life. Like, it is what it is, right? They're not too concerned at this point in time.
Because it was so normal for him to go on these like extended trips.
Yeah. Except for the girlfriend situation. That raised a little bit of an alarm.
I would think so. So the emails continue to come in from Chris. And it's about this time that Chris's brother, Paul, remembers something strange that had happened. The week of June 7th, when Ed Shin had emailed all of the employees to let them know that they were to not come into the office that week, Paul had just returned from a family vacation. He had a few things in the office, so he popped in to grab them, and he kind of like took a peek around. He recalls being in the office and having this like super pungent smell just like totally like take over his body. Like, it was disgusting. He said it smelled so bad. He also noticed that there were fans on the carpet and the carpet was damp. Mm. And he notices that the walls have fresh paint. Well, as he's walking around the office, he notices a huge stain just outside of Chris's office door. When he asks Ed what happened to the carpet, no, that big stain, Ed tells him that Chris had come into the office, was totally belligerent, wasted, vomiting everywhere, that, you know, he had to clean up the aftermath of it all.
Okay, Ed. Yeah. Sure, that's what happened.
So now let's go, you know, fast forward. So now we're in July and the emails are still coming in for Chris. And he's talking about all of his sailing excursions on this yacht and that, you know, when he's out to sea, he has no cell reception. But this time when he docked, he was able to connect at an internet cafe. These emails were super detailed and pretty much believable, you know? So that's why people, they were waiting for these emails to come in, kind of had like a feeling, maybe like an intuition, but when they got them, they were believable. So
like it could, it kinda, like this is Chris.
Like it satisfied them and they were able, you know, to just like, move on with their afternoon or whatever.
He's just doing his thing.
Yeah. So July turns to August and Chris has still not returned. Like, it's almost September. 3 months have gone by, and Chris still has not returned from his original three-week trip that he had planned. His family's concerned, and his dad especially, because his dad, Steve, is actually a former cop. So in his mind, he kind of has this hunch, like something unsettling, you know, something's not quite right. His dad decides to send Chris an email asking him some very specific questions that only Chris would know, or somebody like in the family. The first question he asks Chris is what type of boat they had, like, growing up. And then the second question was, what lake did we used to live by when growing up? So to Chris's father's surprise, Chris's email hits his inbox, returning two correct answers.
Oh my God.
So at that point, Steve's like, okay, this is really Chris. But then it was like, dot, dot, dot. I guess, like, right?
Like, why would you think it's not if he knew those very two personal questions?
But he had that intuition.
Right.
So his dad's like, okay, you know, did his best to, you know, feel like, okay, it's all good. He's good. Months and months would continue to go by without Chris's family making any type of contact with Chris other than email. Meanwhile, back in Laguna, at the 800 Exchange, business is booming like crazy. Ed Shin is on point. And he's also the new sole owner of 800 Exchange. So living the high life is what he was doing. Partying it up, celebrating that little thing called avoiding jail time for paying his $800,000 restitution. Ed decides that, you know, hey, business is doing great. I'm going to take all my employees to Vegas to unwind. And you know what? Maybe we can meet up with some potential clients while we're out there.
What a nice boss.
I know. Manager. Hello. Manager, if you're listening, I wouldn't mind a Vegas vacation.
Bobby.
Okay. So Paul Smith, Chris's brother, he was in Vegas at that time as well. So he's partying, like doing his thing, you know, whatever he was doing. And he bumps into somebody very recognizable. Hmm. How about that Playboy playmate that Chris was supposedly on vacation with, Tiffany?
Hmm.
So he immediately recognizes her. Like, he knows exactly who she is, you know, from the picture that was going around from Chris's email. So he, like, beelines it over to her and was like, oh, my God. Like, not that he was looking for her, but he's like, you're just the person, like, I want to talk to. How is Chris? How is this trip going? Like, it was only supposed to be 3 weeks. Like, how is everything going? Paul wants to know, like, everything, you know?
How's my brother? What's up?
He's elated to, like, see this chick for more than one reason. Just kidding. But anyways, so Tiffany, like, turns to him and, like, looks at him, like, dead in the eyes and is like, what the hell are you talking about? And who the hell are you?
Ugh.
So not only does she not know Chris, she was never with him. She doesn't even know him.
Can you imagine the pit in his brother's stomach? Like, wait, if you're not with my brother, then what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so now it's late fall of 2010, and Chris's emails became way much more dark. His emails had, like, a content of anger, suicidal thoughts. This was just totally not Chris. This was so unlike him. Chris had written in one of his emails that he was doing drugs, he was feeling depressed, contemplating suicide, and all of these emails were going directly to his parents, Debbie and Steve. Okay, but at the same time, Paul, Chris's brother, he was receiving emails from supposedly Chris saying that he was totally fine. Like, he invited Paul. He's like, hey, let's meet up in Costa Rica.
Oh my God.
Right? Like, so night and day. It's so confusing. So on December 26th, he emails his brother Paul. He says, oh my God, it's summer where I am on my adventure. You know, it's beautiful. I'm going to be offline for a few weeks. He had brought some gold with him supposedly on his trip. And he told his brother, he's like, hey, I found a dealer in Rwanda. He's going to buy the gold off me. I'm going to head up there and sell it. I don't know. The whole story is just very off key.
They're all very detailed.
But very detailed. Exactly. Yeah. So they didn't hear from Chris for actually quite some time until he reached out, letting his brother Paul know that he in fact did want to meet him in Costa Rica. And he set it for February 2011. And they apparently had stayed there before from what I read. So Paul calls down to the hotel. They had this plan, and he finds out that there was actually no reservation in Chris's name. And at that point, from our research, the Smith family were done. Like, they had had enough. They're like, this has gone on long enough. What is going on? So they were going to track Chris and his whereabouts down to basically starting, you know, with the emails and his passport, because obviously he would have had to leave the country. So they hire a computer expert to analyze all of those emails, only to find out all of Chris's emails were sent from somewhere in the United States. Mm-mm. Then the family is informed that Chris's passport had no record of ever leaving the U.S.
Heart drop.
I can't even imagine. So in April 2011, this is almost a year, you guys, after Chris, you know, suddenly, supposedly just up and left, his family filed a missing persons report with the Laguna Beach, you know, police department. But the question really is, if Chris never left the country, like, well, then where is he?
Where is he, right? And why is he avoiding his family?
Exactly. And who is behind all these emails that's pretending to be Chris? Steve Smith decides to, you know, start doing some investigating of his own. And he goes to the last person that saw Chris alive, Ed Shin, the new CEO himself. So Steve goes to confront Ed. Ed pretty much tells Steve, like, hey, all I know is that your son had been in contact with some guy and he was trying to obtain a fake passport.
Oh my God, why the fuck would he need a fake passport if all he does is travels and freely?
We need a better story, Ed.
I know. Ed, you're an idiot.
Yeah. So Ed's like, that's probably why you can't track, you know, the countries that he's moving in and out of.
Because
it's a fake passport.
Always has a story.
So pretty much at this point, the Laguna PD, they want to have a little chat with Ed Shin. They're like, look, Ed, they bring him in. They sit him down. They're like, take us back to the beginning. What happened and where is Chris? Ed just spins this whole story. You can watch the interview. It's actually kind of like hilarious to watch him try and make this shit up.
Yeah, it is.
And he's like, oh, he just wanted to make money. And then he just wanted to take his share and go travel. And then he said that, you know, he had met Chris on June 4th. Chris was drunk. They signed this business deal. You know, Chris then puked on the floor and then he left and then boom, he just never saw him again. That's his story.
Yeah.
Not a good one.
All right. So that whole police interview went down in April. So we're going to go back just a few months to January when Ed Shin moved the 800 Exchange into a new building. And that's all good and great. I'm sure like business was expanding, but the one thing that wasn't great was the fact that he failed to pay whatever rent was due on the original building. So of course the landlords are like, hey, yeah, you moved out, but we still want our money. Like it's a huge chunk of cash. So the landlord goes out looking for him and he even hired this private investigator that was in that same building.
What a lucky chance that is.
Yeah. So he, you know, hires him on to help locate Shin and the new location of 800 Exchange. While this PI is looking for the whereabouts of Ed, he by chance stumbles over this page dedicated to Chris's disappearance and immediately contacts Chris's family. So together, the PI and Chris's family are discussing all of the information that they know, some stuff that they believe, some stuff that they're unsure of, and they too collectively begin to think that those emails were in fact coming from someone else, and paired with the fact that it was confirmed Chris's passport never even left the United States, that was a huge red flag that something was up and it was not good. The PI, with the landlord's permission, looks around the original 800 Exchange building that Ed had moved everybody out of, the one I was telling you guys about earlier with like the wet paint and the stained carpet. This would be the first time that this office was actually searched, according to the landlord. So as they're looking around, the PI notices a few things that immediately catch his eye. He notices small dark stains on the door jams and a light switch. Being no fool, he calls the cops immediately. Like, he knows exactly what he's looking at. It didn't take them long to determine that not only were those blood stains, but the blood belonged to Chris Smith. In August 2011, police want to chat with Ed. They're like, all right, we need to whip back around and talk to this MF-er. Where do they find him, you guys? Boarding a plane to Canada.
Why are you going to Canada, Ed?
Why are you fleeing, Ed?
Why are you going to Canada, Ed? What's up there?
We need to know.
This was actually enough for them to arrest Ed because on his terms of probation, you know, from that minor embezzlement case, Ed was not allowed to leave the country. You're so dumb, Ed. So the police do some further interrogation with Ed Shin, and he finally breaks. Not really that long, actually. It didn't take him long to break. So after a year of lies and cover-ups, Ed says that Chris and him, this is according to his account, Chris and him got into an altercation at that original 800 exchange office, and in the heat of the moment, Chris fell, just, you know, tripped and fell, hit his head on the desk, and he died. That's his.
And you decided to make up this whole crazy ass story.
Yeah.
When that's all you had, to say.
Right. Okay. And mind you, this is the story that Ed has still maintained to this day. So after Chris had lied there, dead in his office, does Ed call the police? Does he call EMS?
No.
Instead, Ed claims that he called a Russian man and he paid him to dispose of Chris's body, and that was pretty much, like, that was it. That's all he knows. And mind you, to this date, we don't even know who this Russian person is. He's never been named. I don't even think he fucking exists.
Because, yeah, no.
But this is Ed's story, okay? Ed said that, you know, he panicked. He didn't think the police would believe him of this accidental Chris falling on the desk situation. Honestly, Ed, we believe you less, more than we probably would have that day.
Yeah, probably.
So, good story, though.
Good try. Ed Shin is formally charged with Chris's murder, even though there's no body. Ed was asked over and over and over again to please help locate it, and he insisted that he had no idea where Chris's body was. He wasn't there when it was disposed of.
It was disposed by, you know, the Russian man.
Yes, he wasn't with the Russian man. After some super intense detective work, detectives are able to trace Ed's cell phone ping location during the time of Chris's disappearance. And what do you know? Some suspicious trips down south near the Mexican border were made by Ed Shin. He went to a city right like on the border called Boulevard, California.
Ooh.
He actually made this trip two times, mind you. The first one was on June 7th, and then again 2 days later on the 9th. And let me tell you, that's an obvious sign that he was up to some bullshit because nobody goes to Boulevard. So I'm going to give you some facts really quick.
Unless you live there.
According to the 2010 census, the population of Boulevard is barely over 300 people. So when I say nobody goes to live there, like no one goes to live there. And I'm sure it's like cheap as heck.
Especially not you, Ed.
Yeah. Anyways, back on the 7th, while in this rural area of Boulevard, or like this desert area, I don't know if it was exactly in that city, Ed made one huge mistake that would come back to haunt him. He called the Enterprise Truck Company for roadside assistance at 2:30 a.m. Why aren't you in bed, Ed? He was located in this desert area near the border, confirmed. Can't get out of that one. When asked by police why he was out there, he simply said, it's not even simply, he made this whole bullshit of a story up again. He's like, I freaked out what happened to Chris and I wanted to flee to Mexico, yet I couldn't bring myself to actually do it. Like, what? So,
it makes no sense.
No. So instead of just fleeing to Mexico and being done with it and like living your life, you just start sending this family like all these freaking emails. Pretending to be somebody else, like
pretending
down
to
the
Chris.
Details.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, hey, fam, I'm good.
That's catch disturbing. You
later. Yeah, he's got some super mental issues. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, which is what I don't understand, if it was all a big accident, why not just help look for the body and tell cops where Chris is? I mean, once his body was found, if it was an accident, that fracture in his skull would totally corroborate your entire story and everybody would know, like, yeah, he must have hit his head. Like,
it was,
you know,
just all a tragic
it
accident.
It was all just like a freak accident. But you want to know why he doesn't help find Chris's body? Because he's an effing liar.
Big, fat liar,
yes,
Ed.
And it wasn't an accident. And we need to find Chris.
Exactly.
Ed, where is he?
Where is he? So then police, they do what they do. They head out to the desert where Ed's phone pinged on those two trips. They didn't find anything. They did not find one single trace of Chris. And to this day, Chris's body has never been found. Which is very heartbreaking. That's what I was saying. I was like, load up the car. We have a general radius. We'll head down there.
I wonder if there's actually searches for him. I just thought
about
that.
I'd have to look into that.
Totally.
But yeah, I mean, I feel bad. Because really, all the family wants to do is have a proper burial for Chris.
I know.
Ed Shin heads to trial in 2018 on first-degree murder charges with special circumstances.
Bye, Ed.
Financial gain. Come on, Ed. We know what's up. Let me tell you guys, you can check out some of his trial on YouTube. Watching this guy try to explain to the prosecution what happened inside the office that day, it is so frustrating. Like, he's clearly lying. He's, like, drawing a map of the office and the supposed altercation that they had and how, you know, Chris smacked his head and died. It's just all so made up. It's horrible acting, Ed. He also said during the trial that Chris was drunk and Chris had initially lunged at him. So, you know, he was just defending himself, okay? Mm. Well, no one's buying it because it took the jury all of 1 hour to find Ed Shin guilty on all charges. Ed was sentenced to life in prison without any possibility of parole. But the story doesn't end there. It never does.
It never does.
I feel like that. While Ed is serving his time behind bars at the Wasco State Prison, he was actually interviewed by NBC News chief correspondent Matt Gutman. And the lingering mystery is obviously, where is Chris's body? So Matt sits down with Ed in a jailhouse interview, and he straight up asks Shin, like, where is Chris? This is Ed's response. I can't talk about that because I don't know. There's no way I can get into that at this point. I wish I could tell you more, but there's something bigger that I just can't talk about. You have to think about it. If someone's willing to give up his life to protect a secret, there's a reason.
Well, you may as well just talk. Now you're in jail without the possibility
of parole. But he's like sticking to it.
Whatever.
Where's the Russian man, this made-up Russian man?
Russian man, are you out there?
Where are you?
I think Ed is obviously just a big freaking liar.
Big fat liar.
Yeah, and he's once again just trying to like con and talk his way out of something, which is why his story is constantly changing.
Yeah.
He killed Chris, obviously, for financial gain. He didn't hire any Russian to dispose of his body. Ed more than likely disposed of his body. And Chris is somewhere out there in that desert. So I'm really going to look to see if there's, like, any searches. I don't know much about, like, the terrain or anything, but Chris's body needs to be brought home. The Smith family went on to sue Ed. They sued the business 800 Exchange, Ed's father, James, and his wife, Karen. And they also sued an alleged accomplice by the name of Kenny Kraft and Chris's lawyer, Ernesto Aldover. They filed a case against the Laguna Beach Police Department, claiming that they had screwed up the initial investigation, and that totally compromised everything from there on out. They saw damages for wrongful death by homicide and fraud by identity theft, intentional infliction of emotional distress, fraudulent transfer and conversion through conspiracy, legal malpractice, and breach.
They are not messing around. Mm-mm. They're actually seeking $30 million in damages.
I hope they get it.
From what I read. Hell yeah. So as Ed Shin is serving his life sentence for this greedy murder of gorgeous Chris Smith, he still claims that there is something big that for some reason he just can't talk about. Well, we'll be waiting, Ed, to see exactly what that is.
Absolutely.
Chris's body needs to be brought home, and the family continues to try and cope with Chris's death, but we all know that their lives will never be the same. We only hope that Ed someday tells the truth and leads the detectives to Chris so his family can properly grieve their son.
Yes. And it's like all of this, that way you could pay off that $800,000 debt so you didn't go to jail, probably for like a few years, but now you're in jail for the rest of your life without the possibility of parole.
And your, like, wife and kids are lost or without a husband and a father, all because what?
Seriously.
It's ridiculous. Greed. Yeah. Greed gets the best of people sometimes, and it's disgusting.
Seriously. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in today. At D Miller on Instagram. This episode is for you because it's over 35 minutes. So it just got you to work, and you probably had to sit in the car for a little bit to finish up.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. We hope you guys all have a great day. We hope you enjoyed this case. Make sure you head over to wherever you're listening now and please leave us that super beautiful 5-star review. That way all of our research isn't for nothing.
Better not be for nothing.
Right?
As always, we hope you guys have a safe weekend, and we'll be back next Friday.
Bye guys.